Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Aaron Peterson. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
Good morning, church. Turn to somebody next to you. Say, the mission is a commission. The mission is a commission. That's the thing that we're going to be talking about this morning, along with being adaptable, along with being teachable, being correctable, along with being able to flow with God when things really don't make a whole ton of sense. How many of you know that often in the kingdom, things don't make a whole ton of sense? Like we are being transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus. That's the end goal. We know that that's the vision. The scripture says that you are all predestined to be conformed to his image. Like, that's where we're all going. That's the journey that we know that we're on. We've started adapting the language quest here a lot, and that's like a fancy way of saying you have no idea what's going to happen from here to there. Like, it's great to know where we're going. I'm really excited about where we're going. You have no idea what happens from here to there. And the sooner you embrace that mystery, the better off you're going to be. I just want to be super duper honest. Like, we get this thing, and I think it comes from Western culture. Get a plan, work the plan till God laughs at the plan, and then figure out a new plan. Because that wasn't God's plan, that was my plan. Because I think I know what I'm supposed to do. I just being real, like, this is the nature of our experience with God, is that he'll give us a call and we'll rush to think that that call means right now, and it means exactly the way that we think it's supposed to mean. Like, I knew this guy in Illinois that in prayer, like, he had gotten a word from somebody that he was an apostle. So the dude went and made business cards that said apostle so-and-so on them, and he got a website. Like, that was step A for him to step into his destiny, was, I made business cards, I got a website, apostlesoandso.org/, what are you doing with your life? Like, that's sort of a manifestation. If you are not alignable and adaptable as you walk out the things of God in your life, you will believe yourself expendable. You will begin to think that the mission that God has given you is the only thing that matters, even above and beyond your relationship with him. Say it again. The mission is a commission. God would rather do it with you and through you than get it done. And the fatal trap of our Western thinking often is the mission is the only thing that matters. The mission is the only thing that matters. We got to see culture changed. We got to see the nation set ablaze for the gospel. And I'm just going to kill myself doing it. And I'm going to put my family on the altar doing it because Jesus is worth it. And Jesus is going, I didn't ask you to sacrifice your family. I died on a cross. Why are you trying to climb up here? There's only room for one of us. Like we have to get over this bizarre thinking that we have that says that I'm just going to wring out my everything, and God's going to use me like a paper towel that he ripped off a roll to clean up a mess, and then he's going to throw me away and rip off the next minister, Christian, whatever, to clean up the next mess. The mission is a commission. No, the mission is a commission. And we can't, Rick talks about this a lot, and I so appreciate the way that you go after this. We want to dictate what happens next. We want to dictate the flow of what God has us in. And if you guys get a chance to read the story on your own time in 1 Samuel, I'm just going to tell it. The Israelites are up against this enemy who is a huge freaking guy. Bible calls him a giant. His name's Goliath. Everybody knows the story. And Goliath is coming out, and he's taunting the Israelites every single day. He is like the trash talker supreme. Like, we have a playoff game today, like, nothing compared to the trash talk that's coming out of this guy, Goliath. And the whole army is around listening to this guy's trash talk and shaking in their boots because he's huge. And the one guy that isn't there is the dude that's off alone spending time with God, this little dude named David, teenager at this point in his life. And when he comes away from being alone with God, he hears the stuff coming out of Goliath's mouth, and David, he gets offended. This righteous indignation thing rises up in him that goes, you can't talk about my community and my God that way. You don't get to talk about my tribe, my family that way. So he goes to the king and says, I'm going to fight that guy. He asked if anybody's willing. This is a great pun. David's the only one that had the stones. He's the only one that had the stones to go fight Goliath. Pastor Ryan's not here, so we needed a dad joke. I have provided unto thee. And he goes to Saul, and he's going to fight this battle, and Saul decides he's going to help David out. And you guys know the story. Like, Saul puts his tunic on David. He puts his inner coat of armor on David. He puts his outer, like, scale armor on David, gives David his weapon, gives him this brass helmet. Like, do you guys understand the significance of this? Like, the king's armor was the symbol of the strength and the prosperity and the economic standing of the whole kingdom. And he puts this on David, like the honor that is bestowed on David to carry this armor into battle, we can't even comprehend. And David puts it on. He's fought battles before. David has a history with God that he can pull on leading up to this moment. And he puts on the greatest honor that man could bestow him. And he says, I can't fight like this. Read the story in 1 Samuel. It's super interesting. David says to the king, the king that has the power to go, I changed my mind, kill him. David says to the king, I can't fight like this, and strips off the honor and the respect and this crazy blessing that the king has given him. Because David has the option in this moment, when he goes into the valley of choosing, he can trust in his history with God, or he can trust in the best thing that man has to offer. And in this moment, because David has built a history with God, he knows, I can't fight like this. This seems right. It seems logical. Going into battle with the best armor that man has to offer seems like the way to go. This isn't what I'm supposed to do. He makes a choice that in the logical makes no sense. He's risking going into battle against a giant, a huge guy with no armor on, and he just ticked off the king. Great plan, David. Because the wisdom of the kingdom is greater than the best thing that man has to offer. I'm just being real. Like, I'm just being real with you guys this morning. There is something about coming to this place of embracing the I don't know. Of embracing the I don't know and realizing that this thing, this advance of the kingdom that we're all so excited about does not happen if we're separate from God and from each other. And I would risk the guess that God is way more interested in having close, intimate commune and community with you than he is in changing the culture around you. Well, how can you? I mean, God, the goal is to shift the seven mountains and the so God's going to do that with the people that he's not intimate with. Like, God's searching the land going, oh, Rick's really smart. I could use him. I mean, he's not super interested in spending time with me. I know that you are. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just using it as an example. Not super interested in being near to me, but he's really smart. So I can use him like a paper towel to clean up the mess. The things that we are so desperately after, miracles, signs, wonders, the great commission, to see demons cast out and the dead raised and disciples raised up and nations discipled. This thing that we're so hungry for is a fruit of knowing him. It is a fruit of being close to him. And the second you lose that, you begin to believe yourself expendable. The second the mission becomes the only thing that matters, you will make sacrifice that he never asked you to make. You will press for things that he never asked you to press for. You will pick fights that you do not have the authority to pick. And I love you. Like, I'm not putting anybody down, but there are people in the church that act like they have the authority of launch code privileges, when in reality they might be like learning to march still? Are you following me? Intimacy with him is going to bear that fruit, and it's going to be able to allow you to be alignable and to be malleable and to be correctable. If you can't receive correction from the Holy Spirit, no man is ever going to convince you that you're wrong. I mean, that's just the reality. If Holy Spirit shows up and corrects you on something, and you believe that's the devil, oh God, that made me really uncomfortable when I heard that voice, and that's probably the enemy. This is the Holy Spirit looks just like Jesus. And for Jesus, flipping over tables and chasing people with whips is on the table. So if you think it's going to be a comfortable journey, you are deceived somewhere. Amen? It's like the most awkward amen ever. Amen, I guess, maybe. I don't want to. Can we go to a different church? No. My point is this. It's that as you go forward in this thing that you're called to, and everyone in this room has a call, everyone in this room has a purpose, God has put something on your life to accomplish, it is going to look so different tomorrow than it does today. It's going to look so different 5 years from now than it does today. And if you start trying to build out the process that you're going to get to walk through, the second that process breaks, your identity is going to shatter. Because deep down, it's going to reveal the fact that you think that the mission is more important than the relationship and the community. Like, I heard this interview with an SAS operator from England, and that's like their version of the special forces, like hard-hitting guys. And he was talking about how the main difference from his training, from a standard soldier's training, was actually mental toughness. And he said, you know, we all get the same intel. Like we get the best that our military has to offer. But we might go to an entry point and find out that 2 days ago, the enemy barred that entry point up or bricked it over. And our mission doesn't stop when we hit the first hiccup. We actually have to figure out how to accomplish the end goal that we're pressing toward when all of a sudden our plans have come face to face with reality. When your car breaks down, your response should not be, I don't think there's a God. But you do this sometimes. Oh, man, car's idling funny and I'm out of town. Oh, God's dead. We're going to do Buddhism now, I guess. Just throwing your Bible out your window on the way to the repair shop. Like, I'm sorry. I'm not super sorry. You have to be able to roll with the punches to see the thing that God's actually drawing you to. Sometimes the punches that you get to roll with actually end up being the point of your ministry later. And this is something that God has just been nailing me with lately. Like, I had this question posed by somebody a couple of weeks ago. And when you get a question like this, you don't answer it. As we were talking about, like, some of the stuff that I've walked through in my life, and like birth defects and like all this weird, like I have fingers that point around corners, you know, like just all this stuff that I have going on. And I said something offhand, like, I mean, there's the reality, and then there's before I knew you, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Like there's a mystery floating there. And this person said, do you think that makes it harder for you to trust God? That's not a question you just answer. This, you go home and you think about it. So I took that question and I put it in my pocket and I went home and I prayed about it. I went, God, what? Because the way that they phrased it at the very end of our conversation is they said, like, if God says to jump, are you afraid that he won't catch you? And I went home and I'm thinking about this and I'm mulling over it. And I'm like, I don't know that I believe you'll always catch me, but I jump anyway. Like, I don't know if my faith is in the catching me if I jump. I feel like my faith is in the, like, even it, when I risk, I risk. Like, when I risk, I risk. It's not like a minor thing, and I hope it's not a minor thing for you guys either. Like, if I'm going to take a risk, it's going to be something that people go, that's stupid. Like, Like, that's the kind of risk that I tend toward. Like, if I jump and he doesn't catch me, it's going to leave a crater. Like that's the kind of risk that I go after. And I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, God, I trust that even if you didn't, you would somehow redeem the hole in the ground. Like, you would somehow redeem the hole in the ground. No, you guys, you have to hear this, because we homeschool our daughter because we're that family. Love the government. You guys are doing great. And we watched a documentary about World War I, and they're talking about trench warfare in World War I and about how they would shell, and the shells would land. Some of them would make it all the way to the barbed wire to try to break up the trench on the enemy side so you could advance, and some of them would land in no man's land in the space in between the trenches, and the shells would explode so greatly it would scoop a hole out of the ground. It would leave a crater, and that the soldiers would actually use the crater to advance. It would create cover for them to go in advance. And it's like, as I'm praying about this, I'm going, so what if I risk greatly? And my risks are public, like I'm up here. What if I risk greatly and God doesn't catch me and I leave a crater when I hit the ground and I take that risk? What if the reality of that is to teach other people that they can come to that same place? What if I'm actually creating a safe place for people to be able to advance and step further into the kingdom? Like, what if that's the call for all of us? Like, what if we're asking the wrong question? Did I lose anybody yet? I know I lost somebody. There's head scratching. I smell the smoke. I know something's going on. The mission's a commission. He is interested in your adaptability. Because every time you go to that entry point and you find out that it's bricked off, you have the choice to wear Saul's armor, or you have the choice to trust in your history with him and draw even closer to him. Like, did you hear that? Every time you hit the hiccup, every time you hit the low spot, every time the car does weird things when you go to start it in the morning, every time you hit those places where it's really, really easy to question, you have the choice. I can either wear Saul's armor. I can either figure out the absolute best solution that the world has to offer in this moment, or I can lean even closer into him. I can trust who he's been. I can trust who I've seen him to be, and I can move forward in closer commune and connection with him, because the mission is a commission. This is just a random aside, and then I'm going to wrap up. We're a charismatic church. If you're visiting, we're a charismatic church. We believe in the gifts. We believe in healing. We believe in God that's doing things actively. We believe in the prophetic. We go after all these things. And there's something that comes up in our prophetic culture a lot. We have these guidelines, and two of them are, we say, no correction and no direction. A church culture without correction and direction is a sick church culture. Okay? So I don't want anybody to receive no correction, no direction, as that doesn't happen. What I'm saying is, you don't get to hide behind God when you do it. That's the whole point of these rules that we bounce around, okay? If you notice something going on in somebody else's life that you know in your guts is going to blow up on them eventually, you can hear the bomb ticking anytime you're around them. Like, I smell smoke. Something's going on. You don't get to, like, play down your fear by saying, I was praying for you the other day, and God showed me that. Just have the crucial conversation. David had like 5 river stones. Have some river stones. Okay? And then the final thing I wanted to throw at you guys, as we're envisioning 2020, as we're stepping into a year where God is bringing us into alignment, where God is correcting us in a lot of ways, is I bounced into this like piece of Stoic philosophy of all things a little while ago that just really stuck with me, and it was this phrase, amor fati, which means love your fate. Anybody ever hear that before? This phrase, love your fate, and for some reason it just jumped off the page and beat me up a little bit, and I had to dig into it. So I'm one of those people, and as I kept pressing into this thing, it's this idea that you are where you are right now, and you can't change that. You are who you are right now in this moment, and there's very little that you can do to change it. When you wake up in the morning tomorrow and the car doesn't start, or your dishwasher decided to have an episode, or whatever you walk into that's going on, you can either allow misery to jump on you, or you can make the hard decision that I'm going to love the place that I'm at. And I'll add to that and say, you can make the decision that I'm going to trust that God's going to do something amazing through this, instead of trying to put on Saul's armor and figure out a way to fix it and partner with fear and panic and all the crazy stuff that tries to jump on you. So I want to leave you guys with the gift that it's okay for you when you hit that wall to love the fact that you hit that wall. And you can actually see your heart posture shift in a way that says, I'm going to go after this and I'm going to be better for it. And even though the mission changed, the vision that I'm going to look like Jesus, it's the same. And even though I turn left instead of turning right, I'm still going to get there. And I'm going to be equipped with something that might end up being a hole in the ground later for someone else to hide in that makes the same left turn that I made. You can love the hard things. You're allowed to love the hard things. Amen? And I mean, James 1 says, like, consider it all joy. Right? Like, consider it all joy when things go sideways, because you know God is building incredible things inside of you through it. So, you're not expendable. God is not going to wear you out to get his purpose accomplished, because he's not a bad boss, he's a good dad. And the mission is a commission. And you know what the root of the word commission is? Go together. The mission is a commission. We go together with Holy Spirit and with the people around us. And the second you lose that is when the joy gets sucked out, and when things go sideways, and when you lose the ability to dream and risk and press forward. And may you be realigned to that reality this morning, that you're not alone. You're not doing it alone. God is not looking for the next person he can tear off the role. He wants to be close to you, and he wants to change culture as a fruit of his nearness to his kids. God, would you make that reality real to us? God, would you show up and confirm this? Would you confirm this, God? I just release encounters all over this room in Jesus' name. God, would you come personally? Would you show us the places that we have been overextended in ministry because we thought that the thing we were accomplishing was way more important than being near you? God, would you show us the things that you asked us to let go of 5, 10 years ago that we're holding on to because we think that the mission is more important than our relationship with you? God, would you break the fear of failure across this room? God, break the fear of failure across this room. Let us be a people that can adapt and that can keep moving forward in the things of your kingdom. And God, would you give us a heart that could genuinely not slip into despair when things go sideways? Could you teach us to love the situation that we're in and the people that are in it? So thank you, God. We bless you. We bless this new year that we've stepped into. And we are just so profoundly looking forward to the things that you're going to do and that we're going to do together with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.